Okay, that was your morning news. I'm your host, DJ Special K, or MC3 Kurska, and you're listening to 99.1 The Eagle. It's Wednesday morning at 10 a.m., so just like clockwork, we got our CEO, Captain Wilson, in here in the studio for our In the Studio show. This week, after a month full of a lot of guests in the studio, we're down to just one this week, which is fine with me. We got a great guest in the studio, though. It's Corporal Ben Davis, one of our Royal Marines on island. But, sir, I'm sure you're going to have a little better introduction than that for him after some announcements. So I'll throw it over to you.
Oh, thanks, Kurska. Good to see you back behind the mic again. And especially you're looking a little bit more livelier than I am after yesterday's ultimate Frisbee match. Feeling a little sore. Definitely got a lot of sleep last night. But thanks. Yep, we definitely have Corporal Ben Davis from the Royal Marines in the studio today. We're going to be talking a lot about some upcoming events and getting to know a little bit about himself as well. Before I get into that, we're going to get into some Bravo Zulus. Had a couple things go down in the last 2 weeks. Wasn't able to come into the studio last week due to some technical difficulties and some schedule things, but didn't quite get a chance to really give out some BZs to the medical team here on the island. The NMRTU folks out there, we had one of our contractors that collapsed during an evolution, and they really took care of him and really ended up saving his life. So BZs to that entire team. This goes to the clinic, the boss clinic, to all the medical staff there, to saving lives. They've really been, let's say that they have been a very impactful unit on the installation this past year. Also, want to give a shout out to Port Ops and the team out there for going outside the norm, and we were able to raise one of the migrant fishing vessels so we can help them out and get a look at what their hull looks like, and maybe let the and ultimately supporting the host nation here in their efforts currently. As far as announcements, I don't have a lot. Other than, hey, everyone keep your eyes out for the flyers. We have another beach cleanup here starting up Building 251 at 10 o'clock. But today's show is a pseudo-announcement show. So in about 2 weeks, on April 16th, we'll be executing the Bataan Death March event commemorating how many years?
So it'll be, it happened in April 1942.
April 1942, here, right there. Well, we're going to jump on a boat, head over to the tip over on the plantation side of the island, and then we'll just march a little over 12 and a half. Right?
For you guys, yeah. That'll be all the way to
but we'll get into the other part of that where we got some hard charger Marines here that want to. Want to do something even more crazier, but that's good. Yeah, but it's just to commemorate the events that occurred in 1942, where we'll all be able to go out there and march out and understand somewhat of what was experienced during that period of time. So, but in order to kind of understand that and the history behind it, we're gonna have a discussion here with Corporal Ben Davis here on the island. One of the senior customs officials here on the island for the British Indian Ocean Territories and a representative of the United Kingdom. How are you doing, Ben?
Yeah, good. Thank you very much. Yeah, not too bad.
Yeah. Thanks for coming
nice
in today to help me understand the Bataan Death March and the events there. I know we're going to get into what you guys got else planned, but let's get to know you a little bit. So you're from Birmingham, UK?
Yeah, Birmingham, United Kingdom. Yeah, I live there pretty much all my life. Yeah, born in Birmingham, and then
where's Birmingham at again?
It's pretty much like central. So like if you look at the we got obviously England and then Ireland, literally bang on the centre is Birmingham.
About so. How far from London?
It's about 4 hour drive.
Four-hour drive to the west.
Southeast. Probably.
Towards Portsmouth. A little bit.
So London southeast of Birmingham. So okay. Birmingham's bang on the centre.
Yeah. So. Okay. All right. And you did you join the Corps in 2017? Was this tell me how you joined the Corps.
So my gave me the idea. My dad was in the army. And pretty much wanted to one up him. Obviously, Royal Marines are a lot better than the army. Sorry for people who are army, but one up to him, and he was a physical training instructor as well. And then obviously that's what pretty much led me down the path of becoming.
Did all your brothers join the military?
Yeah,
as well?
So my eldest brother joined the RAF. He didn't do long, but and then my middle brother as well did join the army. And then unfortunately he got injured during basic training, so I'm pretty much the only one who stuck it out, as they say. So
all right,
yeah.
Keeping on it. All right, join the Corps. And they got drafted for the 43rd Commando Fleet Protection Group out of Scotland, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So there's significance to the 43rd. Explain to me the 43rd Commando Fleet.
So it's, we say 4-3. So, 4-3. Yeah, so like same as all our like three Commando Brigade it makes up.
That's right.
So got 40 Commando, 4-2, and then 4-5, and then Fleet Protection Group Royal Marines is 4-3 out of like north of Glasgow, if anyone's ever been to Glasgow. It's literally just north of Glasgow, probably about an hour. It's actually in the middle of nowhere in Helensburgh, which is so scenic. It's unbelievably scenic. So yeah, hence why I want to.
Yeah, I think the Brit Rep's up towards that region, right?
He is, yeah. He's got a nice little house up there, I believe.
Yeah, he's still working on it. Yeah, good man. All right, how do you get chosen to go into the 4-3 Commando?
So out of training, so I probably, you guys are probably the same. So you have like a choice of where you want to go when you finish basic training as such. But needs of the Navy comes in. Obviously, we're under Royal Marines being the Navy's elite fighting force, as they say. Obviously, manning-wise, because it's a operational unit, the continuous at-sea deterrent, so the UK's nuclear weapons, obviously the US are pretty much the same. So they need to be continually manned at all times. So I didn't really have a choice, but I'm kind of glad I went up there. It gave me good opportunities for everything I've wanted to do. Adventurous training, I went into my love that side of thing, skiing, rock climbing, that sort of thing. So it gave me a good opportunity to go up there and just hone my craft, as they say. So
where have you deployed to?
So deployed wise, I've never actually been on an actual deployment. So I did all the, the only UK deployments as such, live operations within the UK. And it was, all I can say is that it was to do with the UK's nuclear deterrence. So.
Okay, so traveling around, but not quite deployed.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So it was deployed. Yeah, it was live operations. When we did it, we were fully locked up, good to go. At all times, but yeah, it was a discreet operation.
What brought you to Diego Garcia? What did you choose this, or was this needs of the Marines?
No, so I actually I waited when I did my PTI course.
What's PTI?
So physical training instructor. So dressed in my vest now. So this is our rig essentially. So you can't miss us when we're out and about wearing white. So it led me down that to. I actually waited for a good 2 years for this draft, so 2 or 3 years. So I put my name down, and then I waited for that to come around.
So is this a coveted billet for you guys?
Yeah, so it's only, it's very rare to get. It's like absolute rock and roll spoo this is to get, so.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Mr. Mitch was the last one.
Yeah, Mitch Bennett,
right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He was right. The same thing. So.
Yeah, he's currently out in Germany at the moment doing what I want to do is my next job, if all ends up all right, so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't be a problem. All right, so Ben, you chose to come here, but you're performing the duties as a customs official, also as a physical training instructor for the rest of the Royal Marines on the island.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. So my role essentially is so I've got Skyo, which is one up from me, the senior customs immigration officer, and then I'm his one below essentially. So I organise. The whole team essentially to ensure anything that's coming in on the island that's checked properly, anything foreign bodies, foreign objects, anything that can come in on the island potentially cause any damage, i.e. insects, that sort of thing really. So again, and again, no one's bringing anything on the island they shouldn't.
Right.
So yeah, that's my...
Not that anyone would do that.
No. So, hey. So yeah, it's all, it's enjoyable. It's a really enjoyable job. They're, I got saying earlier before we went live, it is starting to ramp up a lot now. Obviously, when my predecessor, Corporal Bennett, was here, all the COVID restrictions are still fully in place. But now we're starting to lift the lid on everything and realising, we need to rewrite that, or that now needs to be implemented because the COVID restrictions no longer apply. So it's all really starting to ramp up as you said at the start there, especially with like the migrant vessels and
right.
and that sort of stuff we do on the island. So it is starting to get busier and busier, which is good.
Yes, so. Absolutely. No, I appreciate all you do because it helps my staff and the rest of the island in order to process everyone and make sure we keep everything safe and good order and discipline. Put it that way. Put it in good order and discipline. So, Ben, one of the reasons you're in the studio is I was talking about on April 16th, we're going to have the Bataan Death March,
yep.
MWR event, where a lot of people will jump on our pretty much our LSTs, our essentially World War II era amphibious vessels. They'll drive up over to Barton Point and they'll drop everybody off and we'll march on. But you guys are going to do something a little bit different. So you guys, how many of you? Four?
So four of us, yeah.
Are going to get off the boat and then you're going to run the island. Is that right?
Essentially, yeah. So we're going to, we'll be closer to the end point at the start than we'll be whenever we start. Yeah, so it's 37 miles. It's in aid of the Royal Marines Charity. I don't know how much you guys know about the Royal Marines Charity, but they do a lot for injured veterans. They did, probably come on to it in a sec, they did a lot for me last year. And then, doing 37 miles, and then we try and do it in, there's a record at the moment, I think it's 7 hours something. We're going to try and do it in about 6.5, so we're going to even get a record out of it at the end. And then a nice big barbecue at the O Club at the end. Everyone's invited, and then it should be sleep for 2 days after that. So,
yeah. Yeah, so everybody else is going to get started on the boats early morning,
yeah.
And you guys are going to start about three or four hours later.
Yeah, so we're going to try and start about midday. We've done a lot of recce runs, and we think starting at midday through the plantation, it'll take us about 3 hours to get to the plantation, and then. It'll probably take us another like 3.5 to get back on the road, so all the way back. So the 37 miles, yeah, we're going to aim for about 10.5 minute miles, probably 11 minute miles, and then that sets us in good stead then to finish.
No, that's great. I think it's a great goal and a good charity event. I know we see a lot of the boxes out there looking for donations and at some of the counters so that we can drive home because yeah, you were discussing this is for the Royal Marine Charity Foundation,
yeah.
Is
yeah,
that right?
So it's just the Royal Marines Charity, essentially. So,
Royal
yeah.
Marine
so, yeah.
Charity.
Yeah, yeah.
And you said and that charity goes towards all Royal Marines for what reasons?
My personal reasons. So last year I had a big diving accident. I died for 27 minutes. And ended up in intensive care for a couple of days in a coma. And they'll pay for your family to come down and have a hotel, and they'll pay for everything. They'll literally go, right, this is all that matters now. Like, we'll pay for your hotel, pay for your travel, and they'll put you up. I'll put your whole family up in a wherever, like the closest they can be, so you can visit or do whatever
right.
you need to ensure that you've got that welfare.
So wide range of support,
yeah.
especially in you, is for your situation was making sure the family come see you. And
yeah.
Yeah, and then do they help with post-trauma?
Yeah, so they do rehab. Phil Gilby, MBE, he's a ex-PTI as well. He's left the Royal Marines now, but he's still an honorary member, if you like, of the Royal Marines. He still wears his full military uniform when he does go to any events, but he heads it up, so he has a lot to do with everything. He's got so many connections. He was a cool RSM at one point. So the whole Royal Marines Sergeant Major, so the whole of Free Commander Brigade and the Royal Marines, he was in charge essentially of all personnel. So he's got a very good eye and a view on where the money goes and what it's needs for. So not what people want, but what people need, essentially, is I think the best way to say that. So.
All right. Well,
yeah.
No, let's... After this break here in a second, let's get a little bit deeper into the history of the Bataan Death March and why y'all chose to do it at this time.
Perfect.
All right, so per request of Corporal Davis, we actually have American Pie by Don McLean. You're listening to 99.1 The Eagle, serving America's best. That was American Pie by Don McLean. You're listening to 99.1 The Eagle. If you're just tuning in, we are with our CO, Captain Wilson, for our In the Studio show. This week's special guest, Corporal Ben Davis of the Royal Marines here on island. Got a lot of interesting talk so far, including a 37-mile run, which I still can't really believe, but we're going to get more into that here in just a few seconds. Sir, I'll throw it over to you to continue the conversation.
Yeah, thank you, Special K. The April 16th MWR event that is going to be hosted by MWR, where we're going to take everyone early morning hours on LSTs out to Barton Point on the other side of the island and begin to essentially march through the plantation in order to commemorate the events after the Battle of Bataan, and including into the Bataan Death March, where a couple tens of thousands of Filipinos and Americans and allies marched away from Manila Bay in order to after the beginning of World War II. So this occurred in 1942 after December 11th, 1941, and so on and so forth, where the U.S. Ended up declaring war against the Japanese and major hostilities occur. So the lead up to this is, there's a lot of history leading up to this, but the main event is the discussion of how horrific the events of the actual march were in 1942. Go ahead, Ben. Can you give me a little bit of description of what you understand it to be?
Yeah, so what I've been researching, that sort of thing. So it was the forcible transfer by the Imperial Japanese Army of about 75,000 people. So American, Filipino prisoner of wars, prisoner of POWs. Basically marched. The original distance was about 65 miles long, but obviously we can't replicate that on the island. So I think the 12 miles is that'll be more than enough to think through the plantation, how humid it is through there, and then how arduous it is underfoot. I think it'll be a good representation of those 65 miles. So yeah, it was again, by the looks of it, it was pretty. Been reading here, so if any American was caught on the ground or fell, he'd be instantly shot. So it was pretty ruthless for what the Japanese did.
Yeah, the significance of this is this was the prisoner transfer from Manila Bay, where the concentration of Allied forces up into mainland Philippines, as the island that was transferred control from the U.S. over to Japan in early of World War II, in the fight against the Japanese at that time. Yeah, so you were discussing, yeah, if any Americans or Filipinos or any, or really just Americans were found not keeping up or anything, they were pretty much shot and killed on the side. Estimates are, we already know that they've documented 5,500 total Americans, but really the death toll on the Filipinos during this time is incalculable, and they were in the tens of thousands. Not really just from the offensive actions of the Japanese, but the conditions of the march of forcibly relocating 75,000 people from the waterfront into mainland Filipino. So yeah, this event will be definitely a reflection of that period and the loss of life. I think everybody realizes that war and conflict has its impacts across many nations, and this is one of those, as we have a large contingent of Filipinos here on the island, so, and I'm sure that they all have relatives and family members as far as generations that have experienced that time during World War II. So, Ben, what made you guys think that just come up with this idea to use a charity event during the Bataan Death March time?
So Wally, I think Wally's been on the show before with yourselves.
Wally is?
As in Corporal Wallace.
Corporal Wallace.
Yeah. So he's the one who originally asked, and started with a bit of a text message over the group chat. Does anyone want to come run the tip to tip? And thought, hey, that would be a good thing to do. And we've been racking up the miles lately, and it's good. We did our last big run last weekend. Did 18 miles, went from Geods all the way back to here, back to the back to building 23 where we all are. And afterwards, we felt pretty fresh and pretty good. But I think there's a saying in the Royal Marines: no cuff, too tough. And I think
we need to make sure you guys have some ice baths.
Yeah.
Ready to go when you complete, because I have no doubt that you're going to have some lactic acid build up in those muscles.
Oh yeah, I think I think it would be. I think it's more of a mental game. I think it's just a bit of a. I was speaking to one of my friends who I did my twos course with, my PTI course, and he said it's just a moving and eating game. That's all it is. Just moving, eating, making sure you're hydrated. That's all it is.
Yep, so. Yep. Determination, and you watch. You could see some of those extreme athletes out there that run hundreds of miles. Mm-hmm. I think David Goggins did that. They've done some shows on
Cameron Haynes. Yeah.
Cameron Haynes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So pretty. And that's those are people that trained for it. So the discussion for the realization is these people were forced to move over 65 miles,
yeah,
and they weren't trained for it in very, very hot, humid, mountainous terrain. So you can understand that, and that should be some reflection as everyone participates in this event on April 16th. Is there anything else you'd like to add to the discussion there, Ben?
Not really, no. Other than obviously we had a target of £2,500 to raise, and we've done it on. I think we've just about hit that mark. I think last night of the £2,500. I think there's obviously a lot of boxes around the island and stuff that if people can keep donating, that money not only goes helps us essentially, but helps all of the service members from the Royal Marines, whether it be from people are still dealing with mental health or actual physical health from being out on deployment and being either blown up or having suffering injuries. So it just that little bit extra that helps everyone really. So it's something that we all hold quite dear to our hearts, because it's it could happen to anyone. It could happen to anyone anytime. So.
No, yeah. Well, I appreciate you coming in here and giving a discussion. And another thing is also appreciate what you're doing in order to, as far as charity for the Royal Marines, and also gaining an additional highlight to the event for MWR and our event. Do you have any shout-outs that you'd like to give?
No, just the I think there are some people like my old dear and that are probably going to listen to this back home. So just obviously got to shout out my mum and my family and everyone back home. And everyone on the island, really, like the customs immigration, all the Brits on the island listening. There's probably some people driving around in their cars right now, having a bit of a smile for me saying that. So, yeah, thank you very much for having me on. It's been a bit of an experience. So, first I've ever done this. So,
yeah. No, glad to have you on, Ben. And we'll definitely see you running around the island.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you, sir. And thank you, Corporal Davis, for coming in. If you just caught part of this discussion and you want to catch the rest of it, like the skipper mentioned, it's going to be on Facebook this week on Friday night about 4 p.m. Also, anytime throughout the week on Channel 42, you can catch the recording. Corporal Davis, I know you wanted CCR. Have you ever seen The Rain? A shout out to your family members. Couldn't find that, but the next best thing we had was Bad Moon Rising.
Ah, so perfect. We're
going to end the show with that. It's Bad Moon Rising by Creedence Clearwater Revival. You're listening to 99.1 The Eagle, serving America's best.